Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to InfoScoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Martin Ehrenkloof, author of The Take Charge Patient, which is a guide to everyone on how to be their own advocate when navigating the medical maze. The Take Charge Patient is a book for everyone as it provides the tools to avoid misdiagnosis by communicating with doctors and managing your medical history. An important topic for everyone as we all must navigate the healthcare system at different points in our lives. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Martine. Martine has a master's degree in psychology from Pepperdine University. She was a journalist, ghostwriter, and public relations professional. She also created and ran a writing program for at-risk teenagers at Phoenix House. Her personal experience changed her career in the year 2001. Martine is currently an award-winning author, patient advocate, and speaker. Her first book, Critical Conditions, which received 15 book awards, provided readers with a hospital guide. Her second book, The Take Charge Patient, however, provides readers to becoming proactive and effective participants in their own healthcare. Hi, Martine. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you so much for being with us today in InfoScoop Live.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on.
I am actually very excited to be the one interviewing you because I am very vocal on this topic of becoming your own advocate and taking charge of your own patient condition, which is not easy.
Yes, it's not easy, but absolutely necessary.
I know that now. I wish I would have seen your book 10 years ago.
Oh,
I really needed it then. But let's talk a little bit before about your experience in this topic.
Okay. You mean with this particular book or my last book?
No, let's go directly with this one, and then we'll kind of relate them. I just want to know, in the beginning, what made you want to write this book? I mean, do you have, like, a specific experience that you went through, or?
Well, I did, strangely enough, after I had already done all the interviews and the research. After my last book, which is about how to be an advocate for a hospitalized loved one, I knew I had to write a book about how to be an advocate for yourself to get the best medical care. And 6 months into my research and interviews of over 200 physicians and other medical professionals and patients, I developed a very serious chronic pain condition, and that lasted 16 months. And it was ironic. I went from advocate for others to an advocate for myself and became my own Take Charge patient and lived every single chapter of my own book and used all the strategies. And in the end, I found the diagnosis, just coincidentally. I was doing some research and was reading a New York Times article, and they described a woman who had the exact same symptoms, exact same profile as I did, and I luckily, the surgeon who had cured her was at a Los Angeles teaching hospital, and I made an appointment with her, and she did surgery, and I've been pain-free for a year, and the rest is history.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, so you not only were lucky enough that you had the tools because of your research, you were also able to kind of experiment with the book and see the techniques that you were talking about.
Exactly, especially since I'd received 10 misdiagnoses and went through 15 tests and procedures and was prescribed 22 medications. And no doctor seemed able to find out what was wrong with me. So I was seeing, I saw 11 doctors of differing specialties, and nobody could come up with the right diagnosis.
I am not complaining about my own troubles then. I'm talking
it was
about
a brutal time.
Misdiagnosed.
But I'm so lucky that I feel so lucky.
Wow.
That I was able, that I am pain-free now. I'm very grateful.
Yeah. And, you know, in a way, you were already vocal enough to kind of decide and follow your steps and look for other opinions. But there's a lot of people that doesn't matter what their personality is, when they go to the doctor, me included, when we go to the doctor, we just become speechless guinea pigs. We don't know how to talk to the doctors.
Right.
We don't know what they're saying, and we don't do anything about it.
Right.
why is that, do you think, that we become so defenseless, all of a sudden so vulnerable?
Well, I think there's a number of components to that, and I've been there myself. It's not just you and a bunch of other people. I think that we are raised to be subservient to physicians because they are trained and have degrees that we don't have, and it kind of mimics a parent-child relationship. So if you think about it, when you go into the doctor's office, you're stripped of all your identity. You leave your purse, wallet, briefcase, you know, apart from yourself, your clothes, you have to get into a gown, and you are in the physician's office, and those office rooms, the exam rooms, are not designed for the patient in mind. They're designed for the doctor's purposes. But I think we're raised to not treat really doctors as gods, although that's sort of the generic expression, but to revere them and simply accept what they have to say and be a passive recipient. So we get nervous in the doctor's office. We can't remember what we wanted to ask. We get a little intimidated. They seem like they know what they're doing. And like I said, you know, I interviewed a number of health psychologists, and each one said that it does, you know, mimic the parent-child relationship in some ways, and we become, you know, frightened, and we can't quite remember everything we wanted to say, and we become disempowered, mm-hmm. and we actually disempower ourselves in that exam room with the physician.
And that happens on the first visit, because in my case, you know, after the first visit, when I was just bombarded with pills that totally just dozed me off from life, and I was
dozed off
for a year.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you know, lost job, lost my metabolism, lost everything. But, you know, after that first visit that I had, I was totally overwhelmed. I was not feeling good. I was passing out 8 times a day. We didn't know what it was. Some said one thing. I felt so lost that there was no recovering for me. And it was actually a miracle that I found the strength from within to kind of drop all the meds and figure it out and look for other doctors a year later.
Right.
So what can we do before our first visit that will arm us with, you know, are there any tips that we can follow?
Oh, sure.
So that we don't become that vulnerable and we kind of question what they're saying, or at least ask questions to understand what they're saying.
Yeah, and to be, you know, not necessarily in an adversarial position, but just to evaluate what they're saying. Okay, is this good enough? Is this for me? Is the diagnosis seem right? You know, the treatment plan, am I comfortable with this? But before you go into the doctor's office, what increases a patient's confidence the most is to actually put together your health history. So you understand exactly what's been going on with your situation. From the beginning of the year that you went through, which sounds pretty horrible, and I'm really sorry you went through that. But before, you know, you create your health history from day one when the symptoms started, which doctor you saw, and what tests they did, what treatment plan they implemented, was it successful, and you create a chronology of events from when the first symptom began. And you get copies of all your medical records that are pertinent to that particular medical condition, and make a list of all the physicians that you saw, and write a brief health summary about how you've been and what's been happening with you and all your symptoms and what makes them worse or better when they occur. And let's say it's in the middle of the night or late in the afternoon that they get the worst, and what you've tried that has been unsuccessful. So you can present, and you also keep a medical journal, so you're keeping track of your symptoms, so you understand your symptoms exactly where they're located in your body or on your body. And you come to the doctor completely prepared, so that physician can look at your patient toolkit and say, okay, I understand where this patient has been. You have your list of medications and dosages, over-the-counter medications, allergies to medications, and that doctor can look at you and say, I know where she's been, and I know what she's tried, and I get a good good overall view about what is going on with this patient. This way, you prevent the need for the physician to lasso your information from other specialists that you've seen or medications from a pharmacist that, you know, you've been filling your prescriptions at, but also it increases your sense of confidence and empowerment as a patient to understand exactly what you've tried, what tests you've done, what the results were. And if you go in with your complete packet, you'll find that you feel a little bit more able to converse with the physician in a more effective way.
Well, and I think that it's not only that you're armed with knowledge that maybe you would have not paid attention before, but I think it's also in the psychological level, you feel involved in the getting better, in the taking care of yourself,
exactly.
And not just being the victim. I think that's
exactly right. It's crucial for a patient to be an active participant in their health care.
I understand. I understand that now. And let me tell you, nothing, and I've had all other health issues, you know, it's just life that happens and whatever.
Right.
My kids and whatever.
I know.
You know, but nothing compared to that. And you know what? What it ended up being was just fainting spells that got chronic because of stress. And I was medicated for seizures. I was not allowed to drive because they said it was seizures, and so I couldn't drive until after 6 months after the last episode, and I was passing out 8 times a day.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was really bad, and till this day, I still suffer of fainting spells, but I control them with yoga breathing. I don't take heart medication anymore. I don't take any type of medication for that at all.
Right.
And so...
Well, good for you that you took charge of...
Yourself,
the patient, and your
health care. I had no choice. But it would have been very nice to have a book like this one. And for our listeners, your book is The Take Care, Take Charge Patient. And your website is www.thetakechargepatient.com. And this is your second book.
Yes,
it is. This like a complementation or follow-up of your first book?
I'd say it's connected to the first book. The first book was, you know, confined to hospitalized patients.
I see.
And this does have a hospital chapter, and it does go into caring for older patients and advocacy and all that. But this is connected, but this is a much broader scope. It's for anyone who is a patient.
Mm-hmm. And I like it that it puts you in charge, but my fear, sometimes, I like the fact that, you know, you're talking about creating a patient's toolkit. And, you know, you're in charge of your own information, and you collect it, and you read it, and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm afraid of is sometimes we go too far, and I have my father as an example. You know, he'll go to the Internet before he decides to call a doctor.
Oh,
Yeah. So how can we find a balance on the information that we're going to get and where we're going to get? I mean, is there a do's and don'ts on this?
Yes. See the doctor first. I know it's very tempting for all of us, and I've done it myself, to just simply Google our symptoms or our disease or what we think we might have. That is just a big no-no. You know, not only does it take you to information that could be disreputable, I mean, you know, anyone can put up a website that says health medical on the Internet. So the likelihood of finding credible information that you are actually going to find your own diagnosis on the Internet by plugging in your symptoms and coming up with some magical diagnosis, it's unlikely it's going to happen. Seeing the doctor first is crucial. That's after you've seen the doctor and you get a feel for what's going on. Maybe you've even been given a preliminary diagnosis and a treatment plan. It's just as important to do credible research after you've seen the physician on credible websites, such as medical school websites, medical academy websites, and disease organization websites or government websites. And how you'll know when you're getting to those is they will end in .edu, .gov, or .org, such as the American Cancer Society or Sloan Kettering or Harvard Medical School or UCLA. They all end in those that I gave you. Doing research on those websites and then finding at least 3 that have pretty similar information about your diagnosis and your treatment plan will put you in a position of being able to evaluate, okay, does this make sense to me, what the doctor said to me about my diagnosis? Do I have that diagnosis? Do I need a second opinion? If you can get similar information on at least 2 to 3 websites, then you're in a pretty good position to figure out, you know, this is what's generally accepted about with the diagnosis or treatment plan I was given. And if you don't feel comfortable in any way, you must get a second opinion. And if that means third, fourth, or fifth opinion, you must do that. And you can also ask your physician, do you have handouts I can have? Can you recommend websites? Are there websites that you like? Is there a book I can read?
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Martine Ehrenclou, award-winning author, patient advocate, and speaker. Stay tuned because we're going to continue this personal, interesting conversation with Martine and learn more about empowering ourselves to be proactive as take-charge patients instead of silent guinea pigs when dealing with our own health issues in today's healthcare maze. But in the meantime, you can check out her book, The Take Charge Patient, by visiting her website at thetakechargepatient.com.
You know, it's putting, I guess, what we're feeling into a context and then just researching in that context. I'm kind of guessing that it's the ideal.
Putting it into a context?
Yeah, what I mean, before, you know, if you don't go to the doctor first and you go to the internet, you get a bunch of information, but you really don't know how to relate all of it together. But if you go to your physician first, and even though you're not agreeing with him, at least you have a context.
Exactly. Exactly. And researching your physician ahead of time is also important. And you don't have to go to the internet to do that. You can simply call up the doctor's office and ask if that doctor has a website and ask for a bio or his or her CV and ask if this doctor is board certified in that specialty and find out some information about that physician. And if you get a second opinion, same thing, research ahead of time. And this is all part of taking charge. So you know that you're going into a doctor that you've done a little research ahead of time about.
I wonder, this is great help for somebody that's beginning for the medical process on some issues that they're having. But what about people that are already in the middle and they're finding themselves lost and they don't have a diagnosis yet and they are bombarded with medications and just how can they take the first steps to be taking charge of their own situation when they're already in the middle?
Like you and I experienced.
Yes.
There are a few strategies that are really good. You know, that diagnosis journey is very overwhelming and it's not fun. I suggest finding a physician that is affiliated with a highly respected medical school. You're going to gather all your medical records, all your test results. You're going to create a list of questions before you go see this doctor. But also enlist support for yourself. What I did and what I recommend in my book is to enlist a loved one to be your advocate because it's very difficult for all of us, especially when you're in the middle of a diagnosis journey, to see yet one more doctor and distill the information that physician is giving to you, and also to be able to interact with that physician if you're dealing with pain or you're simply fatigued or you're on medications and you're not quite thinking straight. It's very helpful to have someone in that office visit with you taking notes, and you can discuss that later. Also, enlisting support from family and friends, which I also did. You know, in the middle of a diagnosis journey, it is frightening, and, you know, you want to hang on to hope, and you want to believe that the physicians you're seeing are credible and giving you the correct diagnosis, but it's a tough challenge. All of it's a tough challenge when you're in the diagnosis journey. So enlisting support. Also, seeing a health psychologist. If you can afford seeing a health psychologist as a therapist, you know, health psychologists mostly just see patients who are dealing with serious illnesses or chronic medical conditions, and they can some actually act as your advocate and will go to doctor's appointments with you. And they're trained in how to deal with people who are suffering with, you know, serious medical conditions that aren't diagnosed or are diagnosed. You know, those are three pretty good strategies to help you take the next step.
Mm-hmm. In my case, my first priority was thinking straight. I realized that I was not thinking straight.
Right.
And so my goal was to just drop all the medications that were just dosing me off. But at the same time, there was so much fear about dropping them because I didn't know what effect it would have. So I actually enlisted a doctor that would help me take all that, and who was also a psychologist, to let go of the medicines and which ones would I do first. And then when I sat down, I did, actually without knowing, I followed more or less your steps. I looked for the recognized, certified big clinics, you know, and looked for doctors there. And then I even traveled to Boston to look for the doctor there, and then I put two and two together and made my own decisions on what treatments I was going to follow.
Good for you.
Yeah, and so that put you in a better position, but you have to be able to think straight. And so I like the idea that you say you enlist your loved ones to come with you.
Definitely.
Because I, unfortunately, was very much by myself. My father would drive me around, but my husband was traveling, and so he was in Europe stationed over there.
Right.
And so I was pretty much on my own, and if I wasn't thinking straight, I didn't know what the doctors were saying.
That's very tough.
And so, I wish I would have thought about it and, you know, just enlist my sister or somebody else for the appointments to walk me in, and didn't think about that because I wasn't thinking.
Well, and a lot of people aren't aware of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, 20 years ago, who would have thought, gee, I could ask my good friend who happens to be my neighbor, who sees me on a regular basis, so she knows that my behavior has changed.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that I've become very fatigued. She can see that I'm not thinking straight. Or a family member who sees me on a regular basis. So, and especially a family member, if you can find one who's a little medically savvy and detail-oriented and organized and can be assertive but very diplomatic with medical professionals, that's a big help.
And it is a big help in the sense that you feel that somebody that knows who you are when you're well can help you assess what you're not seeing in your condition. And that gives you self-confidence, too. And
definitely.
Yeah, it does. Another thing that I think it would be helpful, I knew nothing about the insurance and what the insurance would cover and what the insurance would not cover because it was my husband's plan. And so I didn't never pay attention to what. And so when they were telling me about treatments and whatever, maybe I would have one for some pain or whatever, do some acupuncture. I would not know if my health insurance will cover acupuncture treatments or there's a deductible. So that not knowing also is scary.
It is scary, and people, you know, I'm not really sure the reason for this, and I used to be like this too, that I went into, I guess I just never really saw the doctor very often until I developed my pain condition, but asking ahead of time, you know, you can call the number on your insurance card and say, are acupuncture appointments covered, or is there a copay, or what is my copay, or if I see a doctor outside of network, what am I going to be paying, and is my primary care physician, is he or she in my network, and which hospital is covered? I mean, you don't want to end up, you know, in a situation where you have to go to the hospital and the hospital of your choice is not covered on your plan.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So asking questions ahead of time, I mean, it's boring for all of us. It's tedious for all of us, but really preparing ahead of time, you know, this is about your health. And you know as well as I do that when you don't have your health, you have nothing.
Yeah, unfortunately, we take it for granted, and we don't do all the homework we need to do when we are healthy.
Right.
You know, and it's the best time to find out about your insurance is when you're healthy.
Definitely.
And so, yeah, I'm very, very happy to talk to you about this. Tell us a little bit, you know, maybe give us a couple of tips before we run out of time. What should we have in our patient toolkit? You know, I mean, does the book provide like a guide, a questionnaire?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's checklists at the end of each chapter, but in the section on the patient's toolkit, there's a checklist there for you, but you should have your current list of medications and their dosages, any over-the-counter medications that you take, and any herbs, supplements, and allergies to medications. You also need copies of medical records over the last 5 years, and you're not going to be lugging around, 5 years of medical records to each physician. You will put in pertinent test results, MRIs, CT scans. You will bring that to the physician if that's pertinent to the goal of your medical appointment. You'll also have your health history, significant medical events over your lifetime, such as surgeries. And the reason why that's important is, I had a C-section. Who knew that that would have been crucial to what was going on with my abdominal pain? I had a muscle tear in my C-section. So if I hadn't put that down in my health history, then the doctor may not have done a specific dynamic high-resolution MRI on my abdominals.
Wow.
And you include a health summary, which includes all your symptoms and, as I said, test results and all that. But the rest is, it's a little bit more extensive than that. So it is all included in the book.
Mm-hmm. I never thought about preparing myself the toolkit. I kind of have the unconscious way of doing that by following. I go through a clinic that has everything computerized.
Uh-huh.
And so I brought everything because I moved from one city to another. I brought everything, put everything there, and now I just I refer them to the computer because all my stuff is in there.
Right.
And so if you don't have those tests that you think you have, at least have contact information. Is what I would imagine
But if you end up changing jobs, you may not be able to go to that medical clinic because your insurance might change. Or if your insurance plan changes,
there is a point.
You may not be able to go to that particular medical clinic or that particular doctor. It is crucial to have copies of everything yourself, always, just in case.
That's very, very, very important. I didn't think about that. There you go. Yeah, that's true. So, to kind of summarize a little bit, people, you have to have a toolkit.
Really important.
Prepare yourself and do it while you're healthy so you don't forget anything.
If you have a patient's toolkit, you can go anywhere in the world and get medical care.
That is true.
And you're not reliant on any physician, to get your medical records from. You have your MRI, CT scan, or whatever test you've had. You have it all there, just in case.
Wow. Yeah. Martine, where can we find your book?
You can find my book on my website, which is www.thetakechargepatient.com. It's in bookstores all over the country, and it's on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, all online resellers.
And remember, she's not the author only. She's also the tester of the book.
Yes, that's true. I'm a patient.
So I find that actually very, very comforting to check it out because you not only wrote about it, you also lived it, and you were able to test what you were researching. So it's great. Again, your website is www.thetakechargepatient.com, and that's the takechargepatient.com. Thank you so much for being with us. I know that this is going to be very helpful for a lot of people, and I wish I would have met you before.
Well, I'm glad you met me now. Thank you so much.
But I will start working on my toolkit because I still have health issues, and it never occurred to me that I cannot be able to go to the clinic I've been going. So there. So thank you again.
Oh, thank you so much.
And to you, listeners, thank you again for being with us in Inside Scoop Live, and until next time.